Well, we have come down to the last service of this gospel meeting. I hope you don't think that's a good thing. I don't. I have really had a good time. But as they say, all good things must come to an end. I'm glad you're here tonight. I appreciate the fact that you've come for this service, and I hope that we all look forward to studying God's Word together. Let me say again that Beth and I have tremendously appreciated being with you. We've really enjoyed our time together. We've looked forward to being here, and everyone has treated us so well. You've been so kind and good to us, and we appreciate that so much. I hope by now I've been able to convey to you the fact that you are precious to us. If you have your Bibles, and I see most of you do, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And while you're turning there, let me remind you that the psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, this morning we talked about the testing of our faith and the fact that if we approach even our difficulties in the right way, they will help to make us stronger. Now, I know there are a lot of people who seem to believe that good people shouldn't ever have to have hard times and problems. There are some folks who think that we ought to be able to reach a point or reach some situation in life where we don't have any problems, we don't have any trouble, everything is fine. And I'm here to tell you that place is not on this earth. There is a place where God promises there will be no sadness, no sorrow, no tears, no pain, no suffering, but that's heaven. It's not on this earth. And so the reality is, if we're going to live on this earth, we are going to have difficulties and problems and hardships, and as the psalmist says, affliction. One of the ways that the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, illustrates the difficulties of life. And I've noticed that many of our songs that we sing use this same imagery, is the word storm. Storm. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about God being our refuge. And many times the connection is made to being the refuge from the storm. And as I say, a lot of our songs key in on that imagery. God is a shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. I noticed in the songbook at the opening of the last song that we sang, there on the facing page was that song, "Till the Storm Passes Over." You know, those are some beautiful thoughts that we sing and use to teach and admonish one another with our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I want us to think a little bit more tonight about the afflictions, the problems, the storms. Every life has its storms. In fact, I would dare say that even among a group of people the size of this group here tonight, there would scarcely be a single family represented that has not been very close to some kind of major problem or hardship or even tragedy. I counted up. I tried to count up How many people in our congregation at Redland Road had passed away over the last 2 years? Not that I had a hard time remembering some people, but the fact is we don't realize what kind of a rate people are passing from this life until we stop and think back and think, well, I remember Brother So-and-so. Why, it's only been a couple of years since he died. And before I was finished, I had counted up on both hands people who had been faithful members of our congregation that are just not there anymore. We've all experienced loss, if not loved ones or family members, then we've experienced things like losses of health, catastrophic illnesses, or maybe a catastrophic illness in a spouse's life. The list is long that we could concoct in order to illustrate the fact that there's not a single one of us who is far removed from difficulty, problems, and tragedies even. Storms. Every life has its storms. Well, what I want us to look at tonight is how Jesus can help us through those storms. And I want us to take a look at a situation that took place that's recorded in Matthew chapter 14 in the ministry of Jesus. We're going to begin reading here in just a minute at about verse 22, but I want to tell you first of all that what we're going to read about here is also recorded in both Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6. But here we're going to look at Matthew's version of this and see what we can learn about how Jesus helps us through our storm. Now, what we're about to read takes place immediately after Jesus has fed the 5,000. We made reference to that this morning in the sermon. Feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You remember when it says Jesus saw the multitude and he had compassion on them. And the disciples were all in a tizzy, so to speak, about where we're going to get enough food to feed all these people. Why, there's only one little fellow here who's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring them to me. And he gave thanks for them. They began to distribute that 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they fed 5,000 people, more than 5,000. And when they got through, they gathered up more than 12 baskets full of leftovers. And he talked about a lot of leftovers to freeze. I heard you ladies talking about that this morning. Oh, that was a lot of leftovers, wasn't it? And then Matthew records this, beginning at verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came. Now that would be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the fourth watch of the night. He came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, "It is a ghost." They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, there are several things that are worthy of noting in this passage. In fact, this is another one of those passages that if you'll read it carefully, you'll always seem to find something that you hadn't seen before or something that you hadn't noticed before. But I want to suggest four things that we get from this passage that tell us how Jesus helps us through the storms of our lives. Number one, let me suggest to you that sometimes Jesus sends us into the storm. Now, I know that doesn't sound just exactly right, so hear me out. Did you notice back there at verse 22 when we first started reading? Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. He made them. I believe the King James translation says he constrained them. The word constrained is even a stronger word than the word made. There's a pretty good indication that the word in the original language is telling us that Jesus really had to convince the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. Maybe someone was a little bit reluctant. Maybe somebody said, Lord, look at the sky. You know, there's a storm coming. You don't want us to get out in the middle of that sea in front of this storm. I don't know. Maybe that conversation didn't come up. But that does lead us to another thought. Did Jesus not know there was a storm coming? Don't you think for an instant that Jesus didn't know there was a storm coming? Jesus is never caught by surprise. God is never surprised at what happens in our lives. We don't have a big major problem blow up in our lives and all of a sudden God is caught off guard and God tries to sit back and figure out what he's going to do to help us out of this thing. That's not the way it happens. I believe Jesus knew that storm was coming, and I believe that Jesus knew this was a golden opportunity to teach a lesson that would be unforgettable. Just look at all the elements of this story that would tend to lend themselves to the apostles never, ever, as long as they live, forgetting what happened on that occasion. Think about yourself. Every single one of us has thought and remembered that story about Peter saying, Lord, if it's you, let me walk on the water, and how Peter got out of the boat and began to sink. You see how memorable all of this was? Why would we dare to suppose that Jesus didn't know this storm was coming? That he didn't send his disciples into this storm. You say, but that still seems a little bit harsh. You remember what happened in John chapter 11? Jesus and his disciples received word from Bethany that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus lingered for two more days. They said, Lord, we need you here. Lazarus, your good friend, is sick. And Jesus says, we'll go to Bethany a little later. And if you read this thing from a worldly viewpoint, you kind of get the idea that Jesus was just dragging around. He was just messing around, wasting time when he should have been going on to Bethany. And that's not really what was happening, because after 2 days, Lazarus died, and Jesus then told his apostles, we need to go to Bethany, or Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to wake him up. They thought that Lazarus was really asleep, and Jesus said, no, you don't understand. He's died, and I'm going to let him live again so that you may believe. Jesus purposefully delayed going to Bethany, waiting until Lazarus had died, because in His infinite wisdom, He understood how well a lesson could be learned by everybody involved in that situation. So you say, well, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe God does send us into the storm sometimes. Why would He do that? I can think of a lot of reasons why He would do that. Sometimes we just flat out need some correction in our lives. And God knows the best way to do that is to send us into a storm. Sometimes God knows that we need some strengthening. And maybe He lets us encounter a storm because, as we studied this morning, the testing of our faith produces endurance. Perhaps God sends me into a storm for the sake of somebody else. Or perhaps God sends me into a storm in order to open up an opportunity for you to help and encourage and minister to me. There are just endless possibilities. When you look at this thing through the best that we can, we can't very well see things through the eye of the sovereignty of God. But when you let God be God, you realize right quick that we don't have to understand why God does what He does, because God's wisdom is infinite. And I believe this passage teaches us that Jesus sent His disciples into this storm. He made them get into the boat and go toward the other side. He knew what an opportunity it would be to teach some unforgettable lessons. Our trials never come as a surprise to God. Now there's a second thing here that I think we need to pay attention to. And we find it in verse 27. After Jesus has gone out onto the lake, the sea, walking on the water, about to pass by the boat, the disciples saw Him and they were terrified. Thinking it was a ghost, they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. Has Jesus ever told you, "Do not be afraid"? Well, of course He has. Hold on, I don't mean you've been hearing voices in your head, or that, as some of our denominational friends say, "Oh, I just felt that little urging," or "God spoke to me in that small still voice." No, no, God doesn't work in that way anymore. How does the Lord speak to us? There's a book full of it right here. And He's told us again and again and again, do not be afraid. Do not fear. I am with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The Lord is our helper. Therefore, I shall not fear. What shall man do to me? Again and again and again, Jesus has said, do not fear. Here's the point. The Lord will comfort us in the storm. You don't ever have to worry about facing the storm all by yourself. You don't ever have to be concerned that if I get into this storm, there's not going to be anybody to help me. Because Jesus said, lo, I will be with you always. Jesus has said, do not fear. In 1894, a man by the name of Elisha Hoffman was a preacher up in Pennsylvania, and he was ministering to a little small congregation of people, and there was this one particular lady in that church that he was he was really worried about. It seemed that her life had just been filled with tragedies and terrible things. And so one day he was calling on her to try to help her and encourage her. And he says that he sat there at her kitchen table, and she just poured her heart out to him, telling him of all of the things that she had undergone and all of the suffering. And he said it was just such a heart-wrenching thing to listen to. And finally she got to a point at which she said, "Brother Hoffman, what shall I do? What can I do?" And Mr. Hoffman said that he quoted a couple of passages of Scripture to her that he thought would be appropriate. And then he looked her in the eye and he said, "You need to tell Jesus." And he said for about the space of 2 full minutes, she sat there just staring off into space. And he said, finally, her countenance took on the look of peace or satisfaction. And she said, "Brother Hoffman, that's what I'll do. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus." Elisha Hoffman wrote that he then went back to his study and took up pen and paper. And he began to write the words of that song as they came to his mind. "I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone." Not only did Mr. Hoffman write that song that we sing, "I Must Tell Jesus," he also wrote the song, "What a Fellowship, What a Peace Is Mine, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." He wrote the song, "Down at the cross where the Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to His name." He wrote the song, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" He wrote over 2,000 songs in his career, and those are some of the most notable that we sing fairly frequently. But it's interesting what she said, "I must tell Jesus." Here in Matthew chapter 14, if you look back at the beginning of the chapter, you'll see that it opens up with the story of Herod having John the Baptizer beheaded in prison. You remember John had had the audacity to tell Herod that he had no right to take his brother Philip's wife, that he was living in adultery. And when Herod became very pleased and excited by the sight of a young maiden dancing, he told her in a rash promise, you remember, "I'll give you whatever you want." And her mother, Herodias, advised her to ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the Bible says that even though Herod regretted making that promise, he immediately sent to the prison and had John beheaded and had John's head brought to that young lady. And the girl brought it to her mother. Matthew 14 verse 12 says, "And his disciples came and took the body and buried it." The English Standard Version reads like this, with the next phrase, "And they went and told Jesus." Now, maybe that means they just went and told Jesus so he would know. But I have an idea it means a little more than that. I think it means they went and told Jesus because that was the only thing they knew to do. "Jesus, Herod has killed John. What are we going to do? when the storm comes into our lives, Jesus will be there and He will be saying, "Do not fear. It's me." In the third place, let me suggest to you that Jesus will teach us in the storm. He will teach us. Look at verse 31. Verse 31, after Peter has so ambitiously said, "Lord, if it's you, let me walk on the water. Let me walk out there to you. You know, you got to say, "Peter, come on, man. What's up with you? Are you trying to steal the show? Are you trying to prove something to yourself? Why don't you just stay in the boat and be quiet?" But that wasn't Peter's way. Peter said, "Lord, if that's really you, let me walk out there to you." And so Jesus said, "Come on. Come on." And he stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. And all my life I've been reading about this story in the Bible, and all my life I've wondered how it must have felt to Peter when he stepped out on that water and he began to walk on the surface of the water. I mean, that had to have been one of the most memorable things that ever happened to him insofar as the things that he did. That, you know, do you think the rest of his life Peter referred to "that night I walked on the water"? He probably didn't refer to it as "that night I almost drowned when I tried to walk on the water." But anyway, Peter walks on the water, and the text says that he came to Jesus. But then he saw the wind and he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" 6 times it is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus said to someone, and most of the time it was to the apostles, "Oh, you of little faith." But that's what he said here. Now, the point was, Jesus will teach us in the storm. You understand that there is such a thing as the brevity of the biblical account. What that means is, well, it's the exact same thing that John said right at the close of his gospel account. Remember when John said, if everything that Jesus said and did were written down, the world wouldn't be big enough to hold all of the books. And so there was a whole lot more to the things that Jesus did and said. We just have the essential part preserved for us in the New Testament. I gotta believe that when Jesus got back in that boat, they got a good lesson on faith. Don't you suppose that was the hot topic for the rest of the day? Faith. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus will teach us in the storm. In Psalm 119 and verse 71, the psalmist said, "It is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." There's the verification of it again. The Lord teaches us in our difficulties and in our hardships. And we can look back at the things that we've come through. I'll promise you, I could write a long list of things that I've gone through in my life, things that have happened to me that were not pleasant at all. But once I got through them and came out on the other side, I was a lot stronger than I was when I went in. And I think you probably could say the same thing. And I understand now why David says, "It is good that I have been afflicted, that I was able to learn your statutes." The Lord will teach us in the storm if we'll let Him. And then number 4, Jesus will bring you out of the storm. That's what it says in verse 32. When they got into the boat, That's Jesus and Peter. The wind ceased. When they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Storm was over. Now, let me give you a little disclaimer. I didn't say that Jesus will always bring the storm to an immediate halt. I didn't even say that the storm won't necessarily kill you. But I did say that Jesus will bring you through the storm. That's the important point. He will be with us all the way through the storm, even if that storm proves to be fatal. We will have Him there with us all the way. There's another little element to this story, and we have to turn over to John's record of it in John chapter 6. John adds one further little detail. John chapter 6, verse 21. Again, same story. They get back to the boat. And verse 21 says, "Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going." You ever read that before? Immediately the boat was at the land to where they were going. Jesus was able to bring this thing to an end. Now that doesn't mean he always will in that same way. But the fact is, the Lord will bring us through the storm. He will always bring us through the storm. And so hopefully now every single one of us can see the benefit of letting Jesus in our boat. Because even though He may send us into the storm, He will comfort us in the storm. He will teach us in the storm. And He will bring us through the storm. And so we sing, "The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide shelter in the time of storm." We sing till the storm passes by. We sing, "I must tell Jesus." You say, why do you use so many songs when you preach? Think about it. In that big blue songbook there, you've got more than a thousand illustrations of biblical subjects. And every time we sing a song, according to the Apostle Paul, we're teaching and admonishing one another with those psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, in addition to offering up that praise to God. Let me encourage you, as I always try to do, to read and study your Bible. Don't blow through it just because you're trying to be able to say, "I'm a daily Bible reader," or because you're trying to get through to the end by the end of the year and all of that. Study the Bible. Read it and see what you missed last time. There will always be something there that you missed. I'm not sure really how that works, but I know it's God's will. That's one of the wonderful features about the Bible. It's so interesting if you dig deep into it and look for those things that teach such clear, simple lessons. Spend some time every day in the Word. If you're not a child of God, why not obey the gospel tonight? Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. If you are a child of God, if you have obeyed the gospel in that way but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back? God wants you back. He's waiting with open arms to receive you. Those who love you and care for you have been praying for you, wanting you to come back. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.